Our scripture reading for this morning is Mark chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. Listen for the word of God to you. Mark chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. And he said to them, "Truly, I tell you, some of you who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God has come with power." The Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. May God bless this reading to your hearts today.
Hi, Wilson family. You know that old adage that children should be seen and not heard? Well, I'm that child that's usually heard but not seen, except for today. I'm appearing on here today to express my joy and thanks for our offering this month. Michael had said he wanted to include some other voices in our tribute to Black History Month. And what better place to go than my friends from the ICCC, this larger church that we're connected to and that connects us to the world. Over my almost 20 years of being here at Wilson and going to the ICCC, I have met some wonderful people. Some people who you would be so pleased to have here. People who, just like you, are into their church and loving their families and worshiping God. They are truly people who are beautiful inside and out. And today, you're going to hear from one of my very special friends. We've lifted her up in prayer before, Charisse Pompey. She goes by Shy, but she's not shy at all. But she does have an amazing story to tell, and I'm so happy that you can meet her today.
Hello. Good morning. I just wanted to talk to you for a few minutes, and I just wanted you to know that you would think, because I was born on Valentine's Day, that I would know love and that I would have great insight on love, and that I would love myself, that I wouldn't struggle with it. But I did. I struggled with the fact that 4 days, did you know, 4 days after my birthday of 2020, which is last year, I wanted to change my hairstyle by installing a lace wig. I got it right here. Here, it's a lace wig inside here. Let me see if I can take it out real quick. Yeah, I wanted to install it in my head, my scalp. I wanted to get it fixed. See all this lace? Yes, y'all. And on the inside, there's metal combs. There's metal combs all over, and you can get it glued down. You can get it cemented almost to your scalp. Oh, yes, you can. I wrestled with that 4 days after my birthday of last year, which fell on Valentine's Day. And even this year on Valentine's Day is my birthday still. I mean, your birthday just never changes, right? But this year, before my birthday this time, 12 days before, I still wrestled a little bit, but not as much. You know why? Because I'm changed by love. God is love. 1 John 4, 7 through 21 is a passage that talks about God's love, but there's three words in there that really says God is love. And I'm changed, y'all. I'm changed by love. And the reason why I wrestle so hard with the idea or the concept of changing my look before my birthday is because in our Western society, we're just big on appearance. It's part of our culture. And we'll do anything, no matter if it's healthy for us or not. Now, I'm not saying that wearing wigs is wrong or unhealthy. But for me, diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, I have to do MRIs, and they always fall around my birthday. And I always want to look special for my birthday. And so I wrestle so hard. Should I do this? Should I install it? And the answer is always no. For me, God wants me to live. He wants me to embrace who I am through and through. I finally embrace the scripture. The word is what changes me. God is love, and it's in his word. He left his word for me so that I can be encouraged and know his love. Psalm 139 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So when I do my MRIs, or even if they come around my birthday, and I cannot wear all the wigs and all of the hairdos and that pull my scalp and, you know, just damage it before I do all my MRIs and CAT scans, I just don't do it. And I feel okay. I feel whole. I feel complete. I feel loved. I feel God. I am changed by love. I would encourage you today, if you don't have that kind of love, that self-love, that love that allows you to heal, to be, to experience his grace and mercy, and be present, and be okay with who you are, I encourage you to be changed by love. God loves us. He loves us, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm changed by love. You be encouraged. Y'all be encouraged. Have a great day. And I'm going to celebrate my 50th birthday. Thank God for him loving me all that time. Amen. Be blessed.
Well, happy Valentine's Day and happy Transfiguration of our Lord Sunday. You know, it's rare that these two kinds of holidays, one that we celebrate outside of church and one we celebrate in church, come together. But I think it's going to allow us to have a really interesting conversation about how these two things came together. I couldn't help but be reminded of something that I think we're all familiar with when it comes to transfiguration. And that'll lead into some of our other conversations. If you've seen it, right? You've seen the movie, the original Disney movie, Cinderella. So you know when I'm talking about transfiguration, potentially what scene I mean. Well, in fact, instead of me just telling you the scene, here, take a look at it.
Well, hop in, my dear. We can't waste time. Don't try to thank me.
Oh, I wasn't. I mean, I do, but don't you think my dress...
Yes, it's lovely, dear. Good heavens, child. You can't go in that. Now, let's see, dear. Your size and the shade of your eyes. Mm-hmm. Something simple, but daring, too. Oh, just leave it to me. What a gown this will be. Bibbidi-bobbidi, bibbidi-bobbidi, bibbidi-bobbidi.
Oh, it's a beautiful dress. Did you ever see such a beautiful dress? And look, glass slippers. Why, it's like a dream. A wonderful dream come.
That's pretty good, right? How many of you wish that you had a fairy godmother first thing in the morning? Or maybe when all of a sudden you've worked all day long and your companion says, hey, I want to take you out to dinner. That's when you're like, wow, I wish I had one of those to kind of whip things all together. It would be an amazing thing. So Cinderella is wanting to go to this ball, and she puts this dress together, and her fairy, not fairy, but her stepmother and stepsister see it, do not want her to go to the ball, rip it all to shreds. She is in tears. That's when the fairy godmother comes. And when that fairy godmother comes and does her bibbidi-bobbidi-boo on all the things except for Cinderella, it takes Cinderella saying, I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I'm equipped to go to this ball. I don't know if I can show up to a ball like this. In fact, I know that I can't. My outside is not worthy of the ball. Well, the fairy godmother then, of course, goes into her, can we say, the transformation. I won't yet say transfiguration yet. And of course, you know the story. She ends up going to the ball and meets the prince. Well, again, I think it's better to look at it. Check this out.
So this is love. So this is love. So this is what makes life divine. I'm all aglow, and now I know.
And now I know
the key to all heaven is one. My heart has wings, and I can fly. I'll touch every star in the sky. So this is the miracle that I've been dreaming of. So this.
How many of you are reminiscing about those times that you saw Cinderella? Maybe some of you are swooning a bit, thinking, oh, that's the kind of love, that fairy tale love that we imagine. Did it all happen because of a ball gown? This introduction to the idea of love, being blown away by what love is. In fact, Cinderella is asking the question that all of us ask, and she didn't actually get the answer to it. Is this love? Is it? Is it love where if I put on the right clothes and I get to the right party and I meet the right person at the right time, that all of a sudden that is love? I want to explore this idea of what it means to be transformed and what the relationship of love is to transfiguration. Often we think about when we read this story that what we're seeing on the mountain of Jesus being transformed and his clothes being dazzling white, we think about it in terms of this fairy godmother stuff, that Jesus is getting on some kind of magical god outfit. And then Moses and Elijah are there in some kind of curious staging of something that is holy and sacred. In fact, I love how the disciples respond. They don't know what to do. It even says it in the passage that as they were talking about building these temples that they could all stay in, it says because Peter had no idea what he was saying. Sometimes when you're confronted with something extraordinary, you just say stupid things because you don't know what to say. Your heart is in the right place. But what I'm going to suggest is that up on that mountain with Jesus, they weren't seeing some kind of magic version of Jesus, but they're seeing Jesus in Jesus's truest form. They see Jesus released from the servant outfit that he used to walk with us, his Cinderella outfit, if you will. There is a notable phrase. In fact, there's two of them that I want to spend time with you on today. The first one is this phrase, "This is my beloved son." What I want to suggest to you this morning is that it's that love that causes the transfiguration. You see, we spend a lot of our time in whatever garb, let's say, whatever servant outfit, whatever clothes, whatever costumes that we feel like will allow us to move through our world with the widest level of acceptance. We all wear those kinds of clothes. Sometimes it's for the good. We don't want to show off and alienate people, but we all wear these various costumes, these costumes that we wear that allow us to sometimes just survive, to be accepted, to get ahead. Do we wear what we think people want to see or need to see? The interesting thing about love is that love comes into our lives and allows us to be who it is that we are. And of course, when I talk about the costumes that we wear, you know that I'm not just talking about clothes. Sometimes the way we talk, things we pretend that we like, the ways that we try to conform to the world around us. But to be transfigured is to be loved. To be loved is to be seen. And when you seen, when you are seen, you shine. You get to be the one that lives inside. You get to be the you that is true. I can attest that one of the great gifts of my life is being married to Carol. And I will argue that that's one of the reasons, if not the primary reason. We see each other. When I look at her, I see her, not just the loveliness that I see on the outside, but I see all the way through to the heart of who she is. I'm here to celebrate it. I'm here to enjoy it. And I hope that the kind of love that I give to her frees her to be more herself. And I receive that love from her in return. As she looks at me and knows my heart, that I find more comfort with being myself. I feel emboldened to be myself. My truer self starts to show up, for good or bad, depending on who is looking at me. But it is true, and it is truly ourselves. While Carol and I do this for each other, that is central to who we are as the body of Christ. We love each other that way. We love our neighbor that way. Because what we do is we begin with love. And when we begin with love, we unleash the beauty in those around us. See, we don't start from the outside and decide if we are going to love someone. We don't look at them and decide, is their skin color the color that I love? We don't look at them and say, is their tattoo-covered body or lack of tattoo-covered body something that I want to love? Whether they're tall or short or rich or poor, who they love, who they maybe don't want to spend time with. None of that is how we judge people when we look at them, not from the outside. We begin with love. And then when we love them as they are, they become free to reveal more and more of who they really are. We get to see more and more of their inside coming out as they feel safer and safer. And then they find, when they reveal more of themselves, that in our house they are just loved more. because transfiguration depends on love. Love is the thing that transfigures, but love is also the thing that testifies. So this Transfiguration Sunday, the questions I invite you to ask of yourself is, who loves the real you? Who is it that loves the real you? Where can you relax in your life? Where can you be fabulous and fierce? Where can you be quiet if you want to be quiet? Where can you be the real you? And then, who do you free? Who is it that's out there in the world that you will choose to love so much that they are free? Or do you hold back your love, waiting to find out if they can earn it? That's not who we're called to be. We're called to be the ones who lead with love, and then we free people. See, God loves us exactly like that. The whole message of the gospel is that you are loved completely, no matter what your outside looks like. That the God who made you looks into your inside and says, that's the one. That's the one I love. And then my invitation to you is that when you know that love, when you get to see yourself, when you get to see others, when you get to see God for who all of us really are, go tell the story. Go let the world know that there is a place where they matter, where they are loved, and that we will love them first. That they don't have to bring anything to the table. But when they're loved, they'll find they have a lot to share on our table. You are loved extraordinarily. Amen.